We have activity pages, which are on the information desk in the foyer for kids. It's to follow through with the message. If you fill those out, I am going to put Taya in charge of treats after the service, okay? If they bring you a filled out sheet, because they were listening and filled out the sheet, then you can give them a treat, okay? If they just come groveling and begging with no paper, you say, sorry. Okay? Got it? All right. So if you haven't picked those up yet, you can get those from the foyer in the back there. Just a quick note about the DC4K. We're excited to be offering that. John and Deanie and Mike, our fabulous team here, are bringing us something very special there as a body. Our divorce care for adults has been doing wonderful ministry to minister to those who have been divorced. And out of that, these guys have got a desire to do it for the kids. And it's a beautiful ministry. And if you know people who are going through divorce, have been through divorce, separation of any kind, you may want to consider encouraging them to be a part of this. It's going to be, they're starting a new session on Sunday afternoons, and it's a beautiful opportunity to see ministry to the kids. We're going to be looking into the Gospel of John this morning, so if you can find that in your Bibles. Todd is starting a new series. I get to intro his series today and get us all on the same page, heading the same direction. So from the Gospel of John, if we could all read together, starting at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing has been made. Nothing was made that has been made. It's a tongue twister. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only begotten Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In this passage is a lot of meat. There's a lot of substance there, a lot of stuff to work through. And this is sort of a prelude to the entire gospel. John almost spends the rest of the gospel taking this to further explain to deeper detail about this first chapter. And there's a lot of stuff in here, stuff about the Trinity. It says that the Word who is Jesus, as we know, because this is an introduction to the story about Jesus' life, says the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If I was to describe myself like that I am with Charlie, and I am Charlie, you'd raise your eyebrows. There's something about that statement that makes you go, I wonder what that means exactly. But we're not going to go into that today. Todd will take us there. There are more questions. Down further, it says that Jesus became flesh. The Word became flesh. Wasn't the Word God? But the Word became flesh, so He's a man, but He's God. Anybody see a problem there? Just me? There's some questions there. How can He be 100% man, as the Bible describes Him, and 100% God? We'll leave that for Todd, too. We'll just keep on moving here. Let's see. Sonship is also in this scripture. The sonship, it talks about the only begotten Son. And as well, the gospel is here. It talks about that if we believe in Him, we too can become children of God and heirs as sons and daughters. And these are the things that Todd is going to be taking us into in the coming days. But today, we're going to focus on the next part. It says in verse 4. You can throw that up there for a second there, Dal, if you got her. It says, in Him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now, the words and the symbols that's used here, we also find from a familiar text. Where else do we get in the beginning? In the beginning, right? Genesis chapter 1. Here's what Genesis chapter 1 tells us. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. Now you'll notice there's a lot of the same symbols here as in John chapter 1. It's not a coincidence. John was, of course, familiar with Genesis, believing the Old Testament to be Scripture. He very purposely used those symbols to open his text. And the same symbols of darkness are there. The Bible says that in the beginning there was darkness. And that God spoke. And what a coincidence that John uses the Word to describe Jesus. That Jesus was a part of creation. And here we see God speaking and life coming out of it. And light coming out of it. It's not a coincidence. And going back to John, those symbols are very important. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Just in case you forget how important light is, you have to recognize that God in the beginning was darkness. And if God hadn't created light, well, we wouldn't be able to see. Well, we kind of take that for granted. Could you imagine what life would be like in darkness? Could you imagine for a moment? Just imagine what that would be like. Imagine living in the dark. Imagine if I now asked you, which I'm about to do, to get up and switch places with the person beside you. All right, go ahead. Go ahead, move quick. Switch places with the person beside you. Thank you for shutting off that light. All right, now, children, reach into your mother's purses, pull out her lipstick and her eye stuff, whatever that's called, and put it on your mother's face for her. Would you do that? Fortunately, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said it was good. I just had it. Is there any mothers out there that got ransacked in that? I just wanted to see that. The darkness is a place that we think as kids is fun. In fact, we shut off the lights to play games in the dark. But you know what every mother has said a million times over? It's all fun and games until somebody runs around in the dark at full speed and collides into somebody else and gets a broken nose. The darkness always leads to pain and sorrow. Living in the dark would not be fun. Experiencing the dark for a little bit is fun because we know the light's coming back. But living in darkness is not fun. Living in the darkness creates feelings of just not sure about things. When I asked you to get up and move, you had to think about where you were going. You had to think about what's in the way, and you can't really see, so you don't really know what's in the way. Without the light, it's complicated. There's a feeling that things aren't really safe. There's a feeling of a little bit of confusion, a little bit of feeling even lost, a little bit of fear. When it's 3 a.m. and the lights are out and you got to get to that bathroom, there's always something in the dark lurking to take you out on the way. You know it's there. You can't fully grasp it or see it, but you know it's there somewhere. That's the way life is like in the darkness. And to live in the darkness would be difficult indeed. But God sent a great light. God did not leave us in the darkness. And just like Genesis, God physically creates light. The Bible says that we are spiritually blind until we come to know the truth. And Jesus being the truth that the Bible is talking about. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, it says that the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. The Son is something for us to embrace. Just like we don't want to live in the dark, live our lives in the dark physically, Jesus gives us the opportunity to not live in the dark spiritually. And so this passage of Scripture, John is expressing this great light, the Word, this light, this life that has come to us, that God has sent, that we would not have to live in darkness. And He wants us to embrace the light. So go ahead, Dal, turn on the light so everyone can stop wincing. The next verses here seem a little bit strange because it just sort of cuts. He's got this beautiful symbolism going. And all of a sudden he cuts in with John the Baptist. Verse 6 says, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all men might believe. Anytime John the Baptist comes up, for me it's always, my eyebrows tend to go up. or my eyebrow, whatever you prefer. It goes up. Some of you never noticed how thick my eyebrows were till that moment. But Jesus said of John the Baptist, there is no one born of woman greater than him. No one. How'd you like to hear that when you get to heaven? That'd be pretty cool, hey? That would be pretty cool to hear the words, Jep, of everyone born of woman, there's nobody greater than you. That'd be pretty cool. Now, not a lot in the Bible is said about John the Baptist. So it makes me really pay attention, though, when something is said. And let's look at what is said. It says, he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men may believe. I guess the question here is why do we need a witness? What is the point of a witness? Now, John has just been talking about light. So imagine if you could, for a minute, looking at the world spiritually, that people are living in darkness. So maybe, let's say they have blinders on. I need a helper. You want to come help me, Caitlin? Come on, what are you worried about, hey? I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going to freak you right out of your mind here. Okay, come and sit on the stage here. Don't worry, kiddo. You trust me, right? Come here. Come stand up here and put those on for me. You have to take your glasses off. You want to sit them here beside mine? Thanks. She knows me too well. She was a little nervous. Can you see much? No? So imagine there are people like Caitlin walking around the world. Because that's what the Bible says there is. It says there's all kinds of people walking around like this. People who are in darkness. Now, I once was in darkness. I'm now a believer. But I've got my own blinders here. There was a point in my life before I was 15 years old where I didn't know much. I was in darkness. And then I saw and learned about Jesus, accepted him as my Lord and Savior, and I took the blinders off, and I could see. And so now we have a scenario. I have my blinders off, but Caitlin here still has her blinders on, as well as millions of people all around the world. Now, Caitlin, if she realized, take a peek. Is there light around you? Just take a little peek. There is, isn't there? Okay, you put them back on. Caitlin knows that there's light all around her. It's very real. It's very real. If she chooses not to believe that there's light around her, does that change that the light is real? Not at all. Caitlin, do you think that there's light around you? You're smart. Unfortunately, there are people all over the world who the light is completely all around them. But they still live with the blinders on. And the sad part in all this is as believers, I don't know, but if you're like me, often I let the person with the blinders on convince me of things. Caitlin might say, the light's not real. Go ahead and say it.
The light's not real.
And I'm like, it's not? And she's like, put your blinders back on.
Put your blinders back on.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Maybe I was a little crazy there. Maybe the light isn't real. But I find that's what we do as Christians. Seems crazy, doesn't it? But we let the world dictate what is true and what is not. And yet a great light, whether we will accept it or not as truth, is There is truth in this world. God has revealed himself. He has revealed the truth. He has sent his Son as a great light. Whether we accept that or not, it doesn't change the truth, but it sure looks funny when you're looking in from the outside, doesn't it? So can you imagine people going about their day like this? Caitlin, I want you to walk down these stairs. I'm just going to let her, I instantly want to help her. It's like, Caitlin, if you would just take off those blinders, this would be a lot easier for you. Okay, I want you to go weave through four aisles and get to the back corner. Could you do that for me? She doesn't look too thrilled. I'm not really going to make you do that, Caitlin. You can stop. You can take off those blinders. Thank you. Let's give Caitlin a hand for helping us. The crazy thing is, as crazy as that scenario seems, that's how we live. That's how the Bible describes us as living before we become believers, as we're living in darkness. And there are people all around us wandering around with blindfolds on, confused, just like living in the dark. Confused, unsure, creating truth. But God has revealed his truth. And this is a beautiful piece of scripture that John is hammering home. He's hammering home to us that in him was life. This word means life that can be created out of nothing. It doesn't mean it's life that only God can give. Jesus has that life, eternal life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light. Why do we need a witness to testify to the light? Because people are walking around with these blinders on. It's a new year, and at times when we move into a new year, we think of our goals in life. We think of our goals for our business. We think of our goals in our home. We think of our goals personally. John the Baptist's single goal was to be a witness to testify to the light. Further on in John chapter 1, down in verse 31, it explains it a little bit further. John says, I myself did not know him, referring to Jesus. But the reason that I came baptizing, the reason I was doing ministry, the reason I was doing everything, the reason I was living in the desert, the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. John the Baptist had one single purpose, to reveal Christ, to be a witness, to testify to who he is. And as we come out with all of our goals, all of the things that we have in store for this new year, nothing should precede that if we want to do what's in the heart of God. In our business, what do our businesses look like if our number one goal is to reveal Christ, to reveal the Lord, to reveal the Son to the world? If that's the number one goal, how does that change the way you do business? How does that change the way you are an employee in a company? If your goal is to reveal Christ and number one above everything else, how does that change? When you go to play sports, is your goal to satisfy something in you, to find enjoyment, those are all fine. But is your number one goal to reveal Christ? Because it changes the way you would play the game. If you're going for yourself, then you're selfishly motivated. You're hogging the puck, not hucking the puck. You're taking long shifts. It's all about pleasure. It's all about you. But if your number one purpose is to reveal Christ, then how does that flow out when you're playing a sport or doing an activity? In everything we do, our number one goal, if we want to be on the heart of God, which we see in John the Baptist here, is to reveal the Lord. That is our number one goal in every situation. I think of, when thinking, preparing for this, I was just thinking of the different missionary stories you hear about. You hear stories, you can read autobiographies of missionaries who did incredible things. Left their home and their comforts and everything and went to places that there was constant danger and all sorts of things. And they gave up so much for one reason alone, to reveal the Lord, to reveal Christ to people, to reveal the Son, this great light. And I think of people like Dave and Tasha Cox, who are friends of the Stevensons and ourselves, and they have gone to India to work in the Muslim part of India. They left the comforts of Canada. These are people that I know grew up in youth group with, who have left everything for one reason. And they've spent years there, years and years before ever seeing a first convert. And they came up with a plan, and their plan to reveal Christ there in a Muslim country was not to come in as missionaries, because they wouldn't last long, but to come in as business people. And so their entire business, the only purpose of their business, is to reveal Christ, to give them opportunity to reveal the Lord. It's their only purpose. They are not there to make money. Yes, the business makes money. That is their only purpose. My sister and brother-in-law are here, Lindy and Terry. They have come home from the far-reaching shores of Australia, where they are missionaries. Just a little step below Hawaii and other places like that, maybe. Maybe they aren't missing all the creature comforts of home. But talking with them and hearing what they have given up to go, we have a very close family, and they struggle with homesickness daily. It is very hard for them, and it's special to have them home for this season. But they have given up everything they know because God put something in their heart, and they've gone there, they've started a church from nothing and reached people for the Lord for one purpose. Terry's a tiler by day, but he's not there. He didn't go all the way to Australia to lay tiles. He's there for one reason, to reveal the Son. And if I was to bring him up here and we could talk to him, you'd hear his heart. It's so passionate about reaching lost people, taking the blinders off. And that's what they live for. But it should be our goal here at home as well. Wherever we are, wherever we go, that should be our passion and our desire. You know, thinking about this, you know, we can often feel guilty about being a witness, that we're not a good enough witness for the Lord. We don't tell enough people about Him. And I've thought a fair bit about this as to, you know, what do we need to do, Lord? Do we, you know, how do I get to that place where I'm a better witness for you. And it made me start to think about, well, what is a bad witness? What makes a bad witness? And if we were to paint a scene here this morning of, let's say there was an accident. And the police come on the scene and they're talking to the people who are working at the accident site or people who are around. And they're looking for a witness as to what happened. So they find somebody. There was like this big bang, crash. Yeah, I heard it. There were screeching tires. It was crazy. And the police officer might say, well, what happened? Who hit who? There's carnage everywhere. It's crazy. Well, a police officer might say, yeah, but what happened? Who's at fault? Whose insurance is going to cover this? I don't know, man. I just heard the big crash. Well, somebody's got to, I got to figure this out. You got to help me here. Sorry, man. I didn't see nothing. Didn't hear nothing either. Sorry, I gotta go. I don't want to play any responsibility for it. That's not a good witness. But perhaps there was somebody else.
Yeah, I was just driving in my car, and this guy, he flew by me, and he hit that other car right there, and it flew over into the ditch like that.
That's a good witness. The police officer would take that information, write it down. The insurance companies would handle it. It would be all taken care of. So what's the difference between the witnesses? One witness was 100% convinced of what he saw. He saw it all, and he was 100% convinced of what had happened. The poor witness may have been in the area, may have been on drugs as well, but for sure, he did not have confidence in his story. Definitely not when responsibility would start to get on the line, he did not feel confident in sharing his story. And when I think of my witness for the Lord, the more confident I am in Him, the better witness I am. The more confident I am in the Son, the better witness I am. The more confident in who He is. That He isn't just something, some story tale that I read about. That there was a man named Jesus who walked this earth. That this is eyewitness account of what happened when that man walked this earth. When I look around at creation and see that everything is designed, the degree of intelligent design, I am convinced that there is a God. When I read the scriptures, I am convinced that He has revealed Himself to me. Our history shows God acting. The Holy Spirit confirms in our heart all the things we see and read and makes God real in our lives. Our faith in Him is not a hopeful wishing. It's not blind faith. Well, I sure hope this to be true. If we will embrace logic and use our brains and be willing to take off the blinders, because there is truth. We can't deny that something is true. The fact that I'm standing here is true. You cannot deny that. There is true in this world. And God has revealed all truth to us. At least to the degree that we can grasp at this point. So today I really feel the word from the Lord today is that we would take up the mantle of John the Baptist, that we would be witnesses to that light. And the best way to be a witness is to grow in our confidence in Him. And over the coming weeks, Todd is going to be taking us deeper to understand the Son like we've never understood Him before. And that should give us more confidence in who He is. And when somebody's standing there with the blinders on and they're trying to convince us of their reality, they don't have a hope to stand on because we are absolutely convinced of the truth. Yeah, so that's really what God has put on my heart. Maybe Marianne, if you would come. And just with your team, if they're available, to come lead us in some worship. We've had a little bit of fun this morning. Talking about living in the darkness and living in the light. But the reality is that living in the darkness is not a fun place. I met Marcus's little nephew here this morning. And he's blind. And I'm sure if we were to ask him this morning if he would like to be able to see, he would say, oh yeah, I'd love to be able to see. Because I'm sure there are things that he faces every day that he'd rather not, and that he'd love to see. It would make his life so much easier. And maybe today, if he'd like, the beautiful thing about the Lord is one day, if he's a believer, he will stand before the Lord and his eyes will be perfectly whole. And he will spend eternity with the Lord and to be able to see. And maybe today, if the family wants, we'd love to pray with you. And maybe the Lord, He's a merciful God. And I have enough confidence in Him that we'd love to pray for Him. The Bible says to pray for the sick, to lay hands on them. And so we do that. Sometimes God heals right away. Sometimes He waits till we get to heaven. But we can be guaranteed of 100% healing every time. The fact is we live in this life and one day we will pass away. Death cannot be stopped unless the Lord returns. We will all face it. It's not His goal to end death in a physical sense. It was His goal to end it in a spiritual sense. So this morning, we're just going to end with a little bit of worship. There will be no official dismissal. If the kids who have finished your sheets when the service is done, we'll do the candy handout at the back or in the foyer. But we're just going to worship with no official dismissal time. Just an opportunity to just embrace the light. This beautiful Son that the Lord has given us. As we go into this new year, and I'd encourage you to immerse yourself in the Gospel of John as Todd begins to teach us from it. Immerse yourself in it in your personal devotions. Let it be a time of growth, because that confidence, as it grows in you, that's what will make you the witness that you want to be. So Marianne, why don't you just lead us, and when you feel ready to dismiss, you're welcome to go. If you'd like prayer today, if we have prayer teams, if they would come and just linger around the front, I'll be up here, and Ryan, and if anyone would like prayer for anything today, we'd love to pray for you. Let's just take some time to embrace the beautiful gift that God has given us. Just enjoy the light, living in the light.